Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Noodles at Noon, the show that focuses on things that are not worth focusing on. I am your host, who is not ranked first overall in our Spike Paul League. Hi, it's me, Ben, and we are joined, as always, by our good friend and co-host, who is also not ranked first overall in our Spike Paul League. It's Noah.
I was actually going to bring this up if you didn't, because since it's the first week of the league and I'm beating you because you played a lot more games than me today, this is like the 1 week out of the whole league semester that I can gloat that I'm higher ranked than you, Ben. So thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for making this a natural progression where I could talk about that.
No, yeah, but you do know you're not ranked first, right?
Yes, I saw that they actually changed the weighting system because I was ranked first, and everyone was like, well, that can't be right.
We can't let this fly.
Something is wrong, fundamentally wrong with the scoring system if Noah is in first place, as I'm sure how that conversation went.
You're still second.
I am right? Second, yeah, second out of 10.
And I'm fourth. Because I played one very, very bad game against you.
Yeah, and it totally depends on like who you're partnered with, and I was partnered with someone that was really good and who's actually ranked number one, so he definitely helped carry me to victory. That's how I play spike ball. I let other people carry me to victory. That's kind of how I live my life now that I think about it.
No, that's a good plan. I'm now just bothered. I didn't realize this, but Ray is ranked above me, and that will not. I cannot have that.
Oh, no. People don't know who that is, though.
Wait. Hang on. I beat Ray. I beat Ray.
All right. There's more spike ball drama.
Ray. Anyway, thank you all so much for tuning in to Noodles at Noon. You can listen to us anywhere podcasts are available, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, or our website, noodlespodcast.com.
Noodlespodcast.com.
Or you can catch us coming to you live this week from, it's happened again.
From Shark Week. We are on Shark Week.
Welcome to Shark Week. All of our episodes are being recorded in an aquarium with a great white shark. The aquarium is like 300 million gallons, and there are very few sharks in it. But who knows? Maybe they'll find you. It's also called the ocean. Just think about that. And next time you're swimming in the ocean, you're in the same ocean as a shark.
Wait, I kind of zoned out for a second. Are you saying we're in the ocean? We're recording this in the ocean?
Kinda. I said we were recording it in an aquarium with a shark, but the aquarium's like 300 million gallons.
Oh, okay.
Which I also think the ocean is more than 300 million gallons.
I would guess it's probably a lot more than that.
How many?
How big, though? I have absolutely no idea.
Gallons is the ocean. That's the real question. Oh, my gosh. That is a lot of zeros. Estimates that there are 321,003,271 cubic miles in the ocean. That's enough to fill... See, I don't like when they just put all the zeros and don't give me the name. Like,
it's less impressive somehow.
Yeah.
So a cubic mile.
100,000, 100 million, 100 billion, 100 trillion, 100 quintillion. What comes after a quintillion?
You missed quadrillion also.
Oh, I did miss quadrillion. So 352 quintillion, 670 quadrillion gallons. So I was wrong.
Okay, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a little bigger.
I also think it's kind of funny, and this information is coming from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's website, NOAA.
NOAA.
NOAA, yeah.
NOAA said it, so it must
says,
be true.
Yes. Thank you, NOAA. NOAA would know a lot about floods and ocean stuff,
ooh.
Right?
Because,
you know. Boats, arcs.
I get it. I get it.
Because on the website, it does say that's enough water to fill about 352, that large number I just said, gallon-sized milk containers.
That sounds like a tremendous waste of plastic.
It does feel like a tremendous waste of plastic, but also, why would it have to specify gallon-sized milk containers? Why wouldn't it just say gallons? Because a gallon-sized milk container is just a gallon.
I guess it does help as a visual aid to picture, but not that picture that many gallons of milk anyway.
What, have you seen all the things that are like, Americans will use anything but the metric system?
Yeah.
What are some good American, I'm going to look some up. Will use anything but the metric system. 27 examples that show Americans will use anything but the metric system. What are the dimensions of the bike? And someone took a picture of a bike with a banana and a banana for reference.
Oh, like putting something next to.
Yeah.
Like instead of next to a quarter for scale, it's just like set a banana next to your bike. I guess that works.
Exactly. Here's a toilet that's being sold at Home Depot. And it says, I'm going to download some of these and send them to Noah so they can go on the website. Flushes 7 billiard balls in a single flush. As if we can imagine.
Is that like a euphemism? Like, I just flushed like 7 billiard balls down the toilet.
Dude, the dump I just had was like 6 billiard balls. It was so close to the limit of 7.
Two more and it would have been too much. New topic. Let's see. Ben.
A sinkhole roughly the size of 6 to 7 washing machines has closed northbound lanes of State Line Road near 100th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. 6 or 7 washing machines. Not meters. 6 or 7 washing machines.
Is this list going to have that boulder? Did you see that boulder tweet?
That was the next one.
The size of a small boulder.
Yep. It's completely blocking the eastbound lane of Highway 145, somewhere in Colorado, I think, wherever that is.
That feels like AI generation, but that was a few years ago, so it was before that was really prevalent. So I'm sure, like, that's totally something I would write in an email and not think about it. But yeah, it was like a large boulder about the size of a small boulder. It just flows off the tongue.
Exactly.
And then you think about it, and realize this makes no sense.
Adult deer are as tall as a bicycle and they weigh as much as 800 hamburgers.
Oh, that really clarifies it for me.
I can now perfectly picture, because it's not like bicycles are completely subjective in their size.
Yeah.
And it's not like all hamburgers weigh different amounts.
Why are these all bicycle themed? Like, who really needs to know the size of a bicycle?
I feel like Americans also, like, we're not great with bicycles.
No, just get a monster truck. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Get a big old truck.
Speaking of monster trucks, this is something that will happen in Ben's future when I am recording this, but will have happened in Ben's past as you are listening to it. It's a weird like 2-day window where things like that can happen. After this podcast, I'm going to hop in my normal-sized car and go watch very large-sized cars drive over some mounds of dirt. Because monster truck rallies are the best.
Well, I was going to say,
we've probably talked about this before on the show.
You've talked about like playing your monster truck video game, and I know you've been to monster truck rallies before. But what's the main draw for you? Is it the trucks? Is it the atmosphere? Is it the clientele? What's like? Pitch me, because I've never been. Pitch me a monster truck rally.
Just the sheer. Just how unnecessary all of it is. Like, the amount of power that the monster truck has, unnecessary. The whole expedition of racing them, unnecessary. The whole, like when you think about it, most sports, you could be like, oh, but Ben, any sport is unnecessary in the grand scheme of life. But they're all based off of activities that we, like, do that help us sustain life. Like exercise, running, doing things, and even going back to like when we were hunters and gatherers, like we would have to like throw spears or throw things and chase down animals and do that. I mean, I didn't. I'd be terrible at it. But all these like sports are expeditions of those sorts of things. Monster trucks? No, they're not. At no point in human history is it. It's the whole idea of monster trucks are based off of itself, and it's its own revolutionary thing. It came from nothing. people decided, hey, we have trucks now. Let's make them bigger and more powerful and drive them over cars and make them really loud for no reason. And the reason I'm particularly excited for this Monster Truck Rally is because it's not a Monster Jam Monster Truck Rally, which I love Monster Jam Monster Truck Rallies. They are so fun and so exciting because they're very well done. That's like the elite, top-of-the-line monster trucking. Like, you go to a professional sporting event, like a football game or a baseball game. That's what Monster Jam is. That's the MLB. That's the NFL. I'm not going to that. I'm going to the toughest monster truck rally. It's called the Toughest Truck Tour. And last time I went, one of the trucks immediately broke. Like, it did one lap and was like, ah, this truck is broken. And then the person who was, like, hosting, emceeing the event, was like, don't worry, guys. Someone from Nebraska brought their truck with them. And I'm like, sweet. We're just going to have this random monster truck that isn't even part of this whole thing. And they're going to do all the events now.
This is like the terrific understudy. The monster truck understudy.
It was just some guy who was attending the event and brought his monster truck because... Like, he wasn't asked to be there.
He's just, it's like when, if I got my truck out adult, back.
Yeah. When an adult, like, brings a baseball glove to a baseball game, like, you're not, they're not going to ask you to go out there and play.
Oh, hey, too many players got injured. Can we just, is anybody in the stands, like, a
can
decent...
we get someone from the, yeah. Did you play in college? Oh, yeah, you can come out. You can play for the Dodgers, whatever. But apparently that happens in this Monster Truck League. And that Monster Truck ended up, like, winning all of the events.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a great time. So, yeah, that's something I'm doing tonight, going to a completely pointless exhibition of very loud trucks, accomplishing nothing, all for fun. That's why I love Monster Trucks.
That's why I love America.
It is of all of the things that I love and do, the most American thing of them.
It definitely is.
I love monster trucks. Like, I would be willing to ride my bike and drive an electric car for the rest of my life exclusively if it meant we could save the environment enough to keep monster trucks. I'm willing to make sacrifices. It's like, whatever we need to do to reduce emissions so we can keep monster trucks, I'm game.
As long as, if we can only keep one thing, like one thing from the fossil fuel era, it must be monster trucks.
Yep, exactly. Last year I did go to the Monster Jam Monster Truck Rally with my brother. And as we were walking in, he's like, you know what would be cool? An electric monster truck. And I'm like, absolutely not. What would be the point? It's that's progress. The great thing about monster trucks is they're not focused on progress.
It's all about regression.
They're focused on being loud and crushing things. We don't need an electric one.
I feel like the Cybertruck is nearing electric monster truck. Like, it's kind of impractical looking. It's silly looking. I want to drive it up a big hill or go off a cliff with it.
But it doesn't exist.
It's going to happen, right? It's going to happen at some point.
I honestly don't think it's going to happen.
I guess I haven't heard anything about that in a while. Is that ever going to be, like, actually produced for consumers?
I have genuinely no idea.
It's saying that maybe they've been testing them in California. Cybertruck launch date. First deliveries were expected to begin in January 2022.
That didn't happen.
Production to begin in 2023. We'll see when Elon gets bored of Twitter and goes back to the Cybertruck.
Did you see that he changed the Twitter logo to the Dogecoin logo?
I
guess you don't have Twitter.
Did see. I heard about it, I think, from you. But did that improve your overall Twitter experience?
Yeah, actually. It made me want to delete it more. I'm almost there. I'm real close.
You got to join Michael and I. We both have deleted our Twitters in the past few months. And I think we both feel like we're better for it. That was a hard thing. like, it was such a way of life for me, which this is a problem already, if it's like so ingrained in me to just check Twitter so many times a day. And it was really hard for the first few weeks. Like, I would just kind of open my phone and then close it back again. Like, oh, I can't do the thing I was going to do. But eventually you get out of that habit. And then, you know what? I went to the movie theater this week and I didn't recognize like a single movie trailer. And I'd never felt so out of touch. And it wasn't that bad of a thing.
It wasn't a bad thing. See, the reason I still have Twitter is because a majority of my Twitter, like the people I follow and what I see, is like sports stuff. And a lot of sports news happens through Twitter.
Right.
And I like following a lot of that stuff. And it's not like I need to be connected to those things. I'm just like, oh, who won this baseball game? What are people saying about it? Has Aaron Rodgers been traded yet? Nope. Cool. Don't know why I felt like knowing that. I will say, this is something that's happened to me the past couple weeks, is it hasn't even been on Twitter. It's been mostly on Facebook, which is weird. Somehow the algorithm decided I cared about basketball.
Uh-oh.
Not college basketball, but professional NBA basketball. And specifically, the MVP race between Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, which I cannot stress enough to you how little I care about that.
I don't even know who that is.
So Nikola Jokic plays for the Denver Nuggets. Joel Embiid plays for the 76ers, I think. I don't even know. And Nikola Jokic has won the past two MVPs, which is cool. He plays for the Denver Nuggets, which is cool. But everyone, every single season was like, no, Joel Embiid deserves it, not Nikola Jokic. And for whatever reason this year, for like 2 weeks straight, every suggested article was like, this is why Joel Embiid deserves it and not Jokic. And I'm like, I don't care. Please stop.
But once the algorithm, if you spend any time on it, even if you don't care, even if you just leave your phone with that article popped up for too long, it's like, this is all Ben cares about, and he needs to know all the latest news on this.
I don't know how it happened. Like, I don't think I ever looked up Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic. I don't think I looked up those things. And it is weird how quickly the algorithm adjusts. Because
yes,
I've spent the last like 15 years of my life searching, Googling, Twittering, whatever, baseball. And apparently I uttered the word basketball too close to my phone one time. And it's like, nope.
Switching gears. It's basketball time.
Switching gears. He must hate baseball now.
I think one of the worst offenders is... and I finally figured out how to turn this off, but Google Chrome on my phone, when I go to open a new tab, it shows me the search results, and then there's a discover section underneath it that just shows the most random articles, and it doesn't even show them from reliable sources. Like, most of the articles that pop up, they'll make some really bold claim, and I'm just like, I know for a fact that's not true. I don't even need to click on this article to know, like, this thing that it's saying, like, oh, this new movie is confirmed, or, oh, this actor hates this actor. It's like, I just know for a fact that what this is saying is just a straight lie. And, yeah, like, all the websites are these really obscure, weird name websites, like, that I've never heard of or never visited before. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. It has one of the most frustrating algorithms where, like, I read one article. I clicked on one article that was about Disney, and so it like thinks I'm a Disney holic. Like, I need to know all the latest happenings at the Disney parks and all the new Disney movies and like the really specific like Disney mom information. Like, oh, this parking lot at the Disney resort in California is going to be closed, and you need to use this exit. And I'm like, why is this like my top recommended article right now? And even more specifically than that, the article I clicked on was about Bob Iger, like the CEO of Disney.
The CEO, yeah.
And I get like all the latest news on Bob Iger and what he's up to. And yeah, okay.
Well, he's back
I just turned it back on. Disney CEO Bob Iger taking no prisoners in fights with DeSantis. Like, I could probably find 5 Bob Iger articles if I just sit and scroll through here. And I don't think I care, but for some reason, I read 1 or 2 articles, and now it's like Noah really cares about Disney and Bob Iger, and like, it's
you're going to get recommended. Like, here's a eBay listing for a napkin signed by Bob Iger. You must want this. We've already bid on it on your behalf. This is your credit card information, right? We have access to that.
That's true. They do have access to my credit card, so they could just...
We'll charge it to your Google Play account.
You have to go get Google Play gift cards at your local CVS pharmacy and pay it off.
And mail them to me at this address.
Anyway, I get really bent out of shape about like social media algorithms. Instagram's just as bad, especially because I only follow like 4 people on Instagram and don't really use it. So like the couple of things I have clicked on, it's like these are the only things in the world that Noah cares about.
I am solely responsible for your Instagram algorithm, though.
Yeah, because the only things I watch on Instagram are the things that you send me.
You got a weird algorithm then. So I send you some weird stuff.
Yeah. You just try to find me the most random videos on Instagram and send them to me. And so my feed is just an absolute nightmare.
It's great.
Because I'll see like, oh, my sister posted something this week, and then I'm out of posts. So it's like, oh, we got to figure out what he's interested in.
We can't let him get bored.
Here's like some SpongeBob memes. A lot of SpongeBob
memes. That must be what he wants.
I never watched SpongeBob. Anyway, calm me down, man. Calm me down.
Noah, this is my homework for you. I don't know if I'm allowed to assign you homework.
Ooh, okay.
I want you, between now and the next podcast that we record, to formulate, like, genuinely create your own opinion and formulate an argument around who you think should win the NBA Most Valuable Player Award, Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid. I need you to present your findings to me at our next podcast recording.
Okay.
And now that I've said that, all you're going to get recommended is articles about Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid.
We're going to come back in like 2 weeks and I'm wearing like a Lakers jersey and I'm just like a huge basketball
fan. Neither of them deserve it. Let me tell you about this guy.
That's what all the mainstream media is saying, is you need to listen to either this side or this side. But actually, the one that really deserves it is Kevin Garnett. Okay, there's a basketball player.
Kevin Garnett, who's been retired for a few seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was saying that, I was like, oh, it'll be easy for me to think of another basketball player. Nope. I was like, this guy should win it. Yeah, I'm like, I genuinely don't know another basketball player. Except for LeBron James.
LeBron James, I know him. Is he still playing? Yeah, yeah.
He does. He plays for the Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers. Yeah, that's my pick, LeBron. He's the guy. But no, I will.
No, you have to have reasons.
I will do some research. I'll try to read some reputable sources and not go to like number1texasbasketballers.com. That might be the next domain we buy. That redirects to our About Us page again.
Yep. See, but that's the issue, and it is why I've considered deleting Twitter. And I like Twitter because you can find sources that you do find reputable around sports stuff. But there's also like Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp and the other one whose name I can't even remember, who legit just say stupid stuff because they know people will click on it, because they know it'll upset people. And they'll like say like stupid sports things that aren't real. And he'll be like, oh, but people will click on it. That's all that matters. And then people get super bent out of shape on all those things.
Gotta get super that annoying. That lead generation. Gotta get people to your website.
Exactly. Anyway, we've spent a long time talking about nothing. How's your week been?
I mean, is that different from the normal podcast?
I feel like this week in particular has been pretty bad.
It's been worse. That's true. Last week or last episode was a tech podcast. I feel like we should address that quickly, that had it not been for Ben's iPod Touch, we probably would have done an episode last week, but
yeah, that's true.
During the recording of our last podcast, I was playing with Ben's iPod Touch, and I started sending texts to Jesse and I think myself on the iPod. And because of that, any text I sent to Ben after that just went to his iPod Touch instead of his phone. Mm-hmm. And so I kept texting him Saturday morning, like, hey, you want to do a podcast? I could do it now. Didn't hear anything for several hours. And I was like, okay, fine. I guess he just is busy. And then I finally get a text from you in the afternoon that you hadn't received the messages.
Yeah, I was like, I think all of your texts are going to my iPod.
Which you weren't carrying around, obviously.
No, it was sitting on my windowsill charging.
So
where it has been for the past 2 weeks.
So I put that in the Discord, that blame Ben's iPod Touch for no episode.
I think we should blame Apple.
Okay.
Go bigger.
Yeah. Let's work this up. Tim Cook. Tim Apple.
We could sue Apple for damages that we weren't able to record a podcast last week.
Yeah, we lost a lot of money.
How much revenue do we get per show?
Weekly revenue? Can revenue be negative?
Something?
Is that not revenue if it's negative? I don't really know how that works.
We sued Tim Cook and win, but we have to give him $1.50 because that's how much we make each episode. We lose $1.
Okay, I'm going to ask my friend Eric, who listens to the podcast and is an accountant. Is it still revenue if it's negative, or is there another term for that, like losses or something?
D-revenue.
Reverse revenue. Because that's what we make. But you know what? It's worth it, right?
It is.
We sacrifice to bring you this show.
It's the price we pay for our friendship with each other.
Jesse didn't eat this week because we had to renew the domain, and that costs money.
It does.
I still ate.
That
it was fine.
She married you.
Yeah. Like, I didn't lose any food, but Jesse did, so.
Yeah. Perfect.
But anyway.
So how was your week?
I was going to talk about, I am in a new season of life being an adult now, and having friends who have.
That's new?
I'm 24, 25, no, 25? I don't know.
You're 25. I'm in a new season of life being an adult. I'm 25. I've been married for 2 years.
And I've decided I'm an adult now. But I'm starting to have friends who have kids now. And kids have birthday parties. So I've been getting invited to more birthday parties lately that are for kids. Like this was for a four-year-old Luke had a birthday. And so that's where I was before this podcast. And there's definitely that separation at a children's birthday party where all the kids go outside or they're in their room playing together and all the adults are kind of left just standing around staring at the kids or just talking to each other, just not really doing a whole lot. And having just played spike ball with you this morning, I was like, I want to get something going. Like I want to get a spike ball game going or some kind of sport or something. Just to kind of, you know, break the ice and we can all hang out and do something together instead of just standing around talking. And I looked around and found a Connect Four set lying like on the coffee table. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get a Connect Four tournament going. And man, that very quickly ramped up into the most intense several rounds of Connect Four I've ever played. Like we got 8 people to do an actual tournament. Like I set up a bracket.
Yes.
And I was like, all right, Daniel was there, friend of the show. Daniel.
Hey.
I think Daniel was having a little more fun color commentating and wasn't paying attention. So I think he got out first round. Daniel and Jesse and myself and several other people, we just had this epic game of Connect Four where
that's incredible.
Like it turned into full on chess matches where we were taking like, at least I was, me and another person, Matt, were like taking several minutes to take a turn, like considering every placement, doing the math 10 turns out to figure out what were we going to force the other person into. And man, when I pulled it out, I was like, is every game going to end in a draw? Like, is it tic-tac-toe? Like if you're an adult, it's just not, you know, but no. We didn't have a single game end in a draw. That game is actually kind of difficult, and there's a lot of strategy to that game.
I'm a big Connect Four fan. I don't think I've lost a game in years.
Oh, Ben. So, sounds like we need to have a Noodles at Noon Connect Four tournament.
I agree. who won your tournament?
I did, in fact.
we really need to have that tournament then.
So now there's some stakes. If you feel like you have never lost a game of Connect Four or haven't in several years, I feel like we need to start a new channel on our Discord for Connect Four bracket.
Yes.
I think we go bigger though. I think we go like double elimination. I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay, I'll work something.
We could do it like we do the spike ball thing. There's a seeding process. Yeah, I got to play a certain number of play-in games, and then you get seeded, and then there's a double elimination tournament. We can work this out.
Yeah, I'm actually serious about this. Join our Discord if you want to join the first annual Noodles at Noon Connect Four tournament. It's going to be real.
It's going to be real fun. But to your point, like everyone getting involved in super, like, into the whole process of doing the Connect Four thing, I feel like we've talked about this before. Like when I went to a kid's birthday party and I was like, I don't want the gifts I get today as an adult. I want toys. And I think what you're talking about speaks to kind of that same thing of like, as adults, we've been taught. It's a learned habit that we just sit around and talk about things.
Right.
But none of us actually want to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I mean,
we're
it was
just
fine.
Doing that because that's what adults do.
But let's get a serious Connect Four tournament. And people,
exactly.
Like, people were commentating. Like, it wasn't just you play your game and then you go off and do something else. Like, people were actually watching the games being played. And it was a good time.
You can place bets on it. It'll be the next, like, on FanDuel. Like, oh, you can bet on the Noodles at Noon Connect Four bracket.
The four-year-old.
Do you have your bracket? Forget March Madness.
The four-year-old birthday party has to end early because one family, like, lost their house in the betting.
This is my house now. It's my birthday. I don't care,
I don't care. It's my house. Get out.
It's my house now. Get out.
So, yeah, that's, I think, my takeaway. Our takeaway, talking with Jesse about it on the way home, is, like, if you're in a situation like that where there's just a bunch of adults sitting around, like, initiate something, you know? Start a game. Get really into something, even if it's something really silly, like Connect Four, and it can be a lot of fun.
That's amazing. I like that. That's your grand takeaway. My story from the week, as if I haven't already told enough stories from my week, I'll make it quick and short, is yesterday, which was Friday for us, I took the day off of work just because, you know, it's Good Friday. A lot of people get the day off from work, but also I hadn't had a day off from work in a very long time. I just wanted a day off to take care of myself. And on Thursday, I was kind of like, I mean, I have tomorrow off, but what am I actually going to do? Because I don't have any plans. I'm not taking the day off so I can go do something specific. I'm just taking the day off. And what I ended up doing was like, I'm going to go to my favorite coffee shop in the morning and get coffee. And I'm going to work on writing some stuff that I want to write. Like, I wrote little journalism, like, news things about, like, how the baseball season is going. Not because I'm going to share those anywhere, but just because...
You just like to write.
I like writing.
Jesse does that,
and it's
too.
It's something I like writing about. Exactly. And then after that, I went to my favorite restaurant that was in the downtown area called Comet Chicken.
Oh.
Great place.
Yes.
Love Comet Chicken.
We would love to be sponsored.
I went there,
by them.
And... oh, that'd be amazing. We should really work on that. But yeah, I went to Comet Chicken and got some delicious chicken, and I read the book that we're reading for the small group that I'm in. So I was able to get some reading done, which it's a book I really enjoy reading, so that was good. And after that, it was a beautiful day. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to walk around Old Town. So I walked around Old Town, end up going in a candy store called Rocket Fizz.
Oh, yes.
Love Rocket Fizz. Got my favorite candy. And then just kept walking around and enjoying a beautiful day. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a day where I do all the things that I want to do, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Because I think sometimes whenever we do things we enjoy doing, we're like, oh, but I could be doing this, which is more productive, or it could be, I'm like, no, I took a day off. I know there are other people working, but I took the day off. I don't have to feel bad about that. And I'm going to do things I enjoy doing and not feel guilty about it. And you know what? It was a darn good day. So my grand takeaway, have a day where you do things that you want to do and don't feel guilty about it. Just, yeah. As long as the things you want to do are legal.
Then he drove his car through the main square area where you're not supposed to go.
Oh, you robbed a bank. No.
I just need a little self-care. I'm going to go rob the bank.
I'm going to go rob a bank. But, like, no, have a day where you do things that are fun for you. And, yeah, that's my takeaway. Your takeaway, if you're at a party and everyone's sitting around, start something fun. Do fun things. That's what we're saying.
It's funny that you say that, Ben, because I'm actually doing that exact thing this week. I've been planning for several weeks to take like a long weekend because I've been working just a ton lately, like working
a lot
of evenings and I don't know. I feel like I can't complain about a job where I sit at a desk, but sometimes it is like really mentally draining, and it's been really draining lately.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been like, I have been like selling some things to fund like a day where I can go, and I'm finally going to do it this Thursday, where I'm going to go down to the Lego store, which is quite a drive, and it's in like a mall that I really enjoy just kind of wandering around, and I'm just going to like go to the Lego store, and I have like a set picked out that I'm going to get that I've been like selling other Legos so I can get this one. And yeah, I'm probably going to go see the Mario movie, even though I just went and saw it a couple days ago.
Oh.
I'm probably going to go see it again, and I'm probably going to get some food at the food court. And yeah, I've been like looking forward to this day and planning it out for several weeks. And it even got delayed. I was supposed to do it last week, and then I lost a package of very valuable Legos that I sold. And I thought I was going to be out like several hundred dollars, but it got found. So it worked out.
It's taken care of. It's fine.
So I was in a little bit of a crisis there for a little bit, but then thankfully UPS saved the day. No thanks to me for delivering it at the USPS, because those are different. That's the other takeaway. Yeah. Do not drop your UPS packages off at USPS. They are different organizations. They'll get it sorted out, but it takes a long time, and they also may not get it sorted out. A lot of life lessons.
I feel like this may have been something we talked about earlier, how I think we need to revamp our train system. I think we need to revamp our postal service too.
Yeah.
Because a lot rides on it. And like, and we talked about this. We had messaged about it. The fact that you delivered it to USPS instead of UPS wasn't really your fault. Because like, you,
I wouldn't go that
didn't
far.
Didn't you like print off, didn't you print off like one shipping thing that was for the UPS, and then you printed off another that was for the USPS, but you just didn't notice. So you were like, oh, yeah, UPS.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The first one was USPS, and then I realized I did it wrong. So the second one I didn't realize had switched to UPS. Don't let me ship anything.
I really think that's your fault.
Another takeaway. Don't let Noah ship any packages, because he doesn't know
how to
do
that.
Should
we add that to the list of Jesse's responsibilities in your household?
Yeah, her list is growing increasingly long. As I continue to make more and more mistakes.
Well, you said you're in the period of life where you're an adult now. So. Got to figure out how to mail things.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to mail things. Got to figure out how to shovel a driveway. There's just lots of things that they don't teach you in school.
Yeah.
The public school system really failed me, quite frankly.
In terms of delivering a package. I believe you'll think that that portion is covered in the reading class.
Yeah, well, see, I didn't go to public school, so that was kind of the joke.
Oh, good point. It's public school's fault. I didn't go. Well, do we have any speak pipe questions from this week?
We have no SpeakPipe questions, but we could pose a question to our listeners. It is Easter. We haven't talked about that.
Oh yeah. Happy Monday after Easter.
Happy Easter Monday.
Coming to you live from the empty grave.
Whoa. Whoa.
Is that heresy? I can't tell.
I don't know. It's probably fine. That's no...
Imagine, like... The Romans arrive at the tomb, and it's just like, hello, everybody, and welcome back to News and News.
The man you're looking for is not here.
Is no, I am your host, who is not Jesus. Good try, though.
He's in another castle. Okay, bring it back to Mario. I don't know. What's a good, like, Easter-related... Okay, I have a question, and Ben, I think you should also pose a question. My question...
Okay.
Is what is the best Easter candy? And this is the day to go buy Easter candy because it's the day after Easter. I went bought Easter candy today because I was a little worried. Last year, I waited till the day after and they were all out of the stuff I wanted. My vote is Robin eggs. They're like Whoppers malted milk balls, but they have the cool Robin egg coloring on them, like the hard shell.
Yeah, they are cool.
That's my favorite candy of all time.
You've played the board game Wingspan, right?
Yes, and I want to eat the little eggs so bad.
I want to eat them so bad because they look like Robin eggs.
What about you, Ben? What's your favorite Easter-themed candy?
Big jelly bean fan. I'm a bit conflicted because I love jelly beans. Specifically, Starburst jelly beans are lit, fam. however, it seems everybody has kind of caught on to the fact that they are lit, fam. And you can now buy them year-round.
Oh.
So, I don't know if that still constitutes as an Easter candy.
Yeah, I would say limit it to only ones that, like seasonal candy. Like, you can't buy Robin eggs year-round.
Okay. That puts a real kibosh on my plate.
But I'll accept that, because at one point they were a seasonal candy. I'll give that to you.
Let's just go jelly beans.
Okay, that's fair.
Not beholden to Starburst. However, those are the best.
Okay, that's fair. In fact, Daniel just sent me, Daniel, friend of the show, getting another shout out, just sent me a picture of a bag of Robin eggs that I'm assuming he purchased and probably won't share with me, so.
I will get you some Robin eggs.
It became a problem. My love of Robin eggs kind of got out, and there was one year, like 2 or 3 years ago, where like three people bought me bags of Robin eggs, and it took me all year to eat them. I think I still have a couple bags of Robin eggs from either or two ago.
That was an issue with my brother and sister-in-law. My brother, he likes dark chocolate. Right?
Yeah.
Get him a thing of dark chocolate. He'll eat it. He'll be happy. Whatever. Audrey is way more similar to me when it comes to her tastes in sweets and stuff, in which she likes Skittles, just fruity candy sort of things. We have the same taste. Since my brother is very persnickety in his dark chocolate, what he likes, people rarely, like, we'll get him the dark chocolate that he likes, and that's all that we'll get him. But because Audrey is fun, for holidays, we would just get her loads of stuff. Like any weird candy we could find, bunches of Skittles, bunches of gummy bears, bunches of gummy worms. And it got to the point where my brother and Audrey had to be like, stop. We have enough. We will survive.
We have enough candy.
Yeah. But it works out in my favor because now anytime I go over there, there's just tons of candy for me to eat, which is great.
Candy is definitely one of those things that accumulates. Like, I don't think we ever don't have candy in our house because you just accumulate it through different holidays and things, and you get too much of it where you get tired of it, or you just get like a big, I don't know. We have a drawer full or a cabinet full of different kinds of candy from the past year's worth of holidays, and we're probably not going to eat it all.
See, I wouldn't do well in wartime because I'm bad at rationing, like just very bad.
I was going to say, probably not for a number of reasons, but we'll go with rationing.
Yeah, no, I'd be bad for every possible reason. This specific reason we're focusing on today, rationing. Because in college, like, I had friends who'd be like, oh, I love meal prepping. I just make, like, a gallon of rice, and I spread it out over 5 days, and it's great. I save so much money. And I'm like, if I make a gallon of rice, I am eating a gallon of rice. Like, if there is food prepared somewhere in my dwelling, I will eat it. Like, I don't know where that comes from. It's not like I had to compete for food when I was a kid. Like, we had plenty of food, but I'm just like, oh no, like, I made food, I'm gonna eat all of it right now. Like, it happened earlier when I made chicken nuggets. I was like, I'm gonna make all the chicken nuggets, not all, I'm gonna make most of the chicken nuggets, and then I'm gonna put some in the fridge for later. 16 chicken nuggets later, I have regret.
And now you have no dinner tomorrow. Now you have to starve tomorrow.
And I have no dinner. Exactly.
It's a hard life.
It's a hard not life.
Well, Ben, are you ready to play a game? A game I was very excited to play last week, and then you ghosted me.
I did not ghost you. Tim Cook ghosted you.
That's right. When Tim Cook ghosted me. Ben.
Yes, I'm very ready to play this game.
I've talked about this many times before, but I love a good game show. I love even just the basic Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. And both those games have a category that emerges throughout the show called Before and After. Are you familiar with this?
Yes. Well, explain it in case I'm not.
So Before and After involves taking two phrases, like two-word phrases, and mashing them together. So an example of that would be Rocket League of Legends. Like, those are two video games, right? Rocket League is a video game, yes. And League of Legends. So the description would be some kind of vague clue about both of those games, and then the answer would be Rocket League of Legends, combining the two.
Gotcha.
So Michael and I have been doing this over Discord the past couple weeks, where we'll think of one and send it to the other person, and they have to guess what the before and after answer is. Have a list here of about 10 or 12 before and after questions for you to see if you can get through, Ben.
Are these all ones that Michael and you have sent to each other?
No. Most of these are ones that I came up with. I think I sent a few of them to Michael, and then a couple of them are Michael specials. I will try and remember which ones are Michael's so he can be properly credited. I asked him if I could steal them, and then told him I would give him credit. So Ben, your first
credit where credit is due.
Your first one is pretty easy, but we'll see how this goes. These long foam cylinders, usually used in swimming, have a podcast that releases on Mondays midday.
Is it Pool Noodles at Noon?
It is Pool Noodles at Noon. Very good. Oh, you got this.
We
game.
Need pool noodles to sell on the merch store.
Branded pool noodles. That would be amazing. Is that a thing we can do?
It's my capitalist. I think so. It's my capitalist mind coming through. How can we market this and make money?
How can we monetize everything?
Nothing is sacred.
All right, Ben. I'm going to put these in the Discord so you can read them too, which might help.
Okay.
This is an exercise in which you fall backwards and hope someone catches you, usually played by 60 bean-shaped characters in a battle royale.
Trust Fall Guys.
Trust Fall Guys. Well done. Well done. Some of these are Noodles at Noon themed. Spoiler, actually.
Oh, no. For those of you who don't know, Noah's favorite game of all time is not, in fact, Mario. It's Fall Guys.
Dude, I did put a lot of time into Fall Guys last year. It was a problem last summer.
Yeah, significant.
Again, this was Michael's fault. This was Michael playing with me, like enabling me. Until, because the way that game worked is it went free to play, and we started right when it went free to play. And so there were like a bunch of 7-year-olds that had never played the game, and we could just wreck them left and right. And then all the 7-year-olds got really good at the game, and then it was less fun because we couldn't win. All right. Next one. This scientist known for chronicling the adventures of other scientists, is also known to make carpet cleaner. Or to make carpet cleaner.
Oh. Brian Stanley Steamer.
Yes.
Yes.
<It's> Brian Stanley Steamer. Shout out to our good friend Brian Stanley, who is going to be on the podcast in 2 or 3 weeks. Woo. Very excited for that.
Very excited.
All right. I think they get a little bit harder. These are pretty easy, but it was really fun. This common breakfast dish, usually involving an English muffin, played Sherlock in the hit BBC show.
Eggs Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're just flying right through these. I would eat an Eggs Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ooh.
It sounds
good. I don't like eggs.
That's true. You wouldn't eat anything egg related anyway. So
I don't like dishes that are egg forward. I like passive egg dishes.
Passive egg dishes. That's good.
There's the name of the show.
There we go. We got it. All right.
Was worried that we weren't going to get one.
We're running out of time.
We're running out.
This fast food empire is the current head monarch of England.
Burger King Charles?
Burger King Charles. You got this.
Yes.
Michael is in this chat, so I'm going to tell him if you have any others to contribute, write them in here. Okay. This is a Michael one. Ding, ding. It's the Michael round.
Ooh, bonus points. Oh,
I should do like, you know, on Jeopardy where they have like a celebrity read the clue and it goes to a video of them. I should have Michael record this line so it's like Michael, you know, saying the clue.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Howdy, y'all. This is Joe from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm here to read you a couple clues for today's question. A meteorological event involving rapid discharge of electricity donning white armor with poor aim.
Wait, okay. A meteorological event involving rapid discharge of electricity donning white armor. So, lightning.
Oh, Michael's got a stumper. Michael's were definitely harder than mine.
It's a... Oh, lightning stormtrooper.
Yes.
I was getting caught up on them. Like, lightning is just one word.
Lightning stormtrooper. I also would have accepted thunder stormtrooper.
Thunder stormtrooper. Because in meteorology, we would say electrical storm. It's an electrical stormtrooper.
I'd accept that too.
That's why I was thrown off. I'm like, but it's lightning. He's talking specifically about lightning.
Michael sent me another good one that I'm going to give to you right now. Because I didn't get it, but he said, I bet Ben can get it. Okay. Oh, he just sent it. So another Michael one.
Hello. This is Michael from the year 2083 with a guest reading for today's two questions. I am currently en route to Mars in a 6-month trip, but I wanted to make sure my questions made it on the show. World Car of the Year 2009 with 336 dimples.
I believe that would be the Volkswagen golf ball.
Ding, ding, ding. Got it right away. I had no idea that a golf ball had 336 dimples. Like, that's regulation.
It does. I actually don't know if it's regulation or not, or just based on the size of a golf ball and how many dimples you can get on it.
Is that, like, would you have said 336? Is that kind of the standard?
Probably. Like, if you got, like, a Titleist Pro V1, it probably has 336 dimples on it. But I know there are some, like, weird, freaky golf balls, because, believe it or not, there's not, like, a... There's some wiggle room on how large you can make your golf balls. So I think there's one company that makes a golf ball that's bigger than, like, normal golf ball sizes.
Really? I would think that would be a disadvantage. It'd be harder to get in the hole if it's bigger.
Yeah, but it's easier to hit since it's bigger. And that one might have more dimples than the other. There's also some that have like dimples inside of the dimples just because. So there's lots of like really weird goofy golf balls. But
dimple section.
336 average.
All right. Well, Ben, this slogan, embraced by hippies in the 1960s, is also a group of child superheroes with morphing powers, tasked with fighting the evil wizard Zordon.
I don't know.
All right, look at one section and see if you can get one section, then the other section becomes easier.
Yeah, because I was thinking like the slogan embraced by the hippies in the 1960s, like, you know, peace out. But then that leaves me without.
Okay, do peace. You know a group of superheroes with morphing powers tasked with fighting the evil wizard Zordon? Because I sure didn't.
I don't.
I guess we both didn't
watch this.
This
is also a Michael one.
No, this is a Noah one. We've left the Michael section.
Oh.
We're back in Noahville.
Well, I don't know. Peace, Outlanders.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. The superheroes, they're multi, like each superhero is a color. They're kind of...
Fight the Power Rangers.
Ooh, that's not it, but that kind of works too. Because that, I feel like that's also a phrase. I had Flower Power Rangers, but
oh.
I feel like I gotta give that to you anyway, because that's a good one. All right, Ben, are you ready for
Flower Power
for the
Rangers,
last
I like
question? I would watch a Flower Power Rangers show where they just go like sowing peace and love everywhere they go and like
in a Volkswagen golf ball.
Yes. I think we got the makings of a good show.
We do.
All right. Well, I'm sad to say we've come to the final round of before Aww. And after. But this one I'm very proud of. This comedian had his own show on Comedy Central and is also the better host of the Noodles at Noon podcast.
Is it Trevor Noah Metzger?
I will say yes, but I would have also accepted John Benjamin Shoemate because John Benjamin, who I didn't know who that was, but he had a show called John Benjamin Has a Van on Comedy Central. So I leave this one up to, I think that's very interesting, Ben, that subconsciously you thought Noah Metzger was the better host of Noodles at Noon, but I appreciate that.
I don't.
That's really nice.
I don't think, I think my brain went, I know who Trevor Noah is more than
whoever John Benjamin is.
Yeah.
I spent a long time trying to make a clue work where the middle word could either be Benjamin or Noah. And it was inspired by, it's Noah's crossword corner time again. I was inspired by Stephen McCarthy of the New York Times, who once had a clue. I forget what the clue exactly was, but it was like the better sci-fi series star blank. And whether you put in Trek or Wars, all of the cross answers worked. And
that's
made legitimate words.
I like that.
So,
the answer is Trek.
Yeah, it depends on the day. I don't know. I don't really care.
Did you see they're making a new Star Wars movie? A new Star Wars trilogy, actually.
Yeah, they handed out like 8 Star Wars trilogies a few years ago and then canceled them all. So I guess I'll believe it when I see it.
That was my thought exactly. I'm like, wasn't Taika Waititi supposed to direct a Star Wars movie? That never happened.
And the Game of Thrones directors and Rian Johnson and...
Man, never let Rian Johnson direct anything ever again.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today. Anyway, John Benjamin Shoemate, Trevor Noah Metzger... whoever you believe to be the better host of the Noodles at Noon podcast can be the answer. So really, we're all winners, Ben.
We're all winners here. I was going to say, that's a perfect segue. Congratulations to me. I think I got all but one of them right.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Noah and Michael for having this fun game that they play with each other that I didn't know they did. That's very fun. And congratulations to all of you, because like Noah said, we're all winners here at Noodles at Noon. Noah, do you have anything you would like to add?
Just that you didn't give me a chance to add something last week, but you did give me the post-outro dialogue, so I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. I did feel bad last week. And I was like, I started the whole set talking thing, and I was like, I forgot something. Oh, yeah. Noah.
But it was too late.
But it was too late, and everything was ruined.
It's because you weren't looking at me. It was because you were off in your corner vocal booth.
That's true. Oh, but you were in my room. This is fun. I'm going to go look at some monster trucks.
Go look at some monster trucks.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
It sounds like the captain needs me. I must go now.